Greatest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and today was a horrific day in France. In fact, a horrific day around the world as we here in the U.S. woke up to hear of the Islamic terrorist attack in Paris. And we'll be talking about this on the program today, and we'll try to analyze from a Christian, a Judeo-Christian, a biblical worldview, what our reaction should be and how we should be proactive, as we've talked about here on Bob and Yart Live for many years, and also our reactions, what should they be? Should we be, have an attitude of forgiveness? I had a lot of Christian teaching. When reality strikes, reality has a way of forcing its way into someone's mind and helping them for a time to see more clearly. And so forgiveness, no, that's exactly incorrect. Jesus said, if someone sins against you, forgive them. No, he said, if someone sins against you, rebuke them. Rebuke them. And we're not God, right? You're not God. I'm not God. That should be obvious to both of us. So God has the authority to forgive someone who sins against someone else, like a murderer. But you do not have the authority to forgive someone who sins against someone else. So do you have the authority to forgive these Muslim terrorists? Well, here's what happened today. Three masked Muslims. Now, in this case, it was men, not women. Normally, they mask their women, right? Normally. So in this case, it was masked Muslims, men, stormed the headquarters of a magazine in Paris with AK-47s, shouting Allahu Akbar and the Prophet has been avenged. Now, there's been tremendous response to these 12 murders already, this mass murder, this slaughter, including support from sympathizers of ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Muslim extremists, of whom there are tens of millions. And for example, on Facebook, mocking, showing a photograph of a man having his brains blown out, along with a poster that says, wanted dead or alive, and in a tweet saying, well, they can't say they weren't warned, because the poster had come out previously. So they can't say they weren't warned. Many people, perhaps if it were totaled thousands, praising these Islamic terrorists. And many of the tweets were in Arabic and had to be translated. The building had been stalked, and the terrorist had actually confirmed people's names before their crime. They killed the editor, three cartoonists, the deputy chief editor. Now, the editor, Stéphane Carbonnier, he had said, I'd rather die standing than live kneeling. And now he's dead. But also dead is a police officer, and this was actually caught. The footage was caught, and you could see frames of it online. The police officer was kneeling and then lying on the sidewalk outside of this magazine's headquarters and begging for his life, and then he was shot in the head execution style and murdered. So at kgov.com, at Facebook, at the Bob and Yart Facebook page, we have posted one of the cartoons that this magazine has published against Muhammad. And this one, it's a vulgar publication. It's like if you live in Denver, Westword, or if you're on a college campus, The Onion, or you know, 1,000 others. And they're filthy. They're perverts. But this cartoon on their cover, published a while back, was a picture of Muhammad saying with a dialogue bubble, a cartoon picture of Muhammad, looks like a nutcase, saying 100 lashes if you don't first die laughing. So saying 100 lashes if you don't first die laughing. So that's one of their cartoons. And so in solidarity with those who are willing to speak against Islam and against Muhammad, and in solidarity with this police officer who's lying dead on a sidewalk now, we posted that cartoon from this Charlie Hebdo magazine, 100 Lashes If You Don't First Die Laughing, in solidarity, because there are many people, in fact millions, especially people living in Islamic countries, who are afraid to speak out against Muhammad. Because Allah is no God and Muhammad is a false prophet. The editor, who's now dead, said, "I'd rather die standing than live kneeling." And that's reported along with the horrific footage showing this police officer begging for his life, being shot in the head at point-blank range. There was another cartoonist who survived, Corrine Ray, and she was there with her young daughter, and the two watched as others were murdered. They saw at least two gunned down. So after the crime, really as the crime still was continuing, but after they killed 11 people inside of the magazine headquarters in Paris, then the killers, and by the way, it was two brothers aged 33 and 34 and another man aged 19. French authorities say they know their identities. As far as I know, they've not yet been apprehended. Hopefully that'll happen soon. But those three fled in a stolen car and headed across eastern Paris after a mass shootout with police officers, and they remain on the loose. So they're believed to be from Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, even though they're French citizens. And that group was behind a plan to bomb the U.S. and the U.K. previously. And, of course, Muslims had previously firebombed this magazine's headquarters back 3 years ago for publishing cartoons of Muhammad. I mean, they call him the Prophet Muhammad. I don't know, unless you want to spell that with an F. I don't think it's appropriate to call him the Prophet Muhammad, unless you always say the false prophet Muhammad. Then that's okay. Do I have my Quran here? I have a Penguin paperback version of the Quran. Let's see. Maybe I'll find it in our bookshelves here in the studio during the show. But I recall first reading through large chunks of the Quran. That was my first Quran. Now I have big fancy ones, gifts given by Muslim listeners to this show. And I remember coming across the surah where Muhammad's wife is angry at him, his chief wife, Asa, angry at him because he had promised her he would not touch sexually. He would not have relations with a young slave girl, Coptic slave girl. And then, even though he made that pledge to his wife, he violated the pledge. His wife was angry at him, needless to say. And he basically, and it's in the Quran, it's part of the Quran, he threatens her with she's going to go to hell if she doesn't stop complaining because Muhammad deserves what Muhammad deserves. So in other words, Muhammad deserved to take this young Coptic girl. It
It's somewhat reminiscent of the Mormon Church just recently. Remember, we interviewed two former Mormons recently, and I think if you go to those interview pages at kgov.com, just maybe /Mormon will get you there. We linked to a lengthy admission this year from the Mormon Church that Joseph Smith, their founder, had dozens of wives, including young teenagers. And, you know, they're trying to say he didn't have sex with all of them. But all despicable. Solomon in the Bible, God warned the kings, don't multiply wives. And Solomon had a harem of 1,000 women. 1,000. Which is why it's not surprising that you read in the Bible that he completely turned against God and built altars to false gods throughout Israel, throughout Judah especially, Jerusalem. And so if you've not studied the book of Ecclesiastes, you might want to get our verse-by-verse Bible study through Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, the writings of a man when he was humbled before God, and then when he had turned against God. Proverbs and then Ecclesiastes. So really fascinating. By the way, for that or any of our Bible studies, you go to kgov.com, kgov.com, and then just click on the store and our Bible studies, or for that, it'd be Old Testament. You'll find it. Or you can call our phone number, 800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. And so before we continue discussing this terrorist attack today by these Muslims, just a reminder, January 17th here in Denver is our Colorado March for Life, 1 o'clock at the state capitol. And the Denver Police Department has agreed to close down Colfax, Lincoln, and Broadway. And the reason for this is because this is, by all indicators, this is expected to be the largest March for Life in the history of Colorado. So please come on out. It's so important. You know, for national security, one of the things that we can do is share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Another thing we could do is stand up for the innocent. For innocent life. And the more blood, by the way, the more blood that the West has on its hands through abortion and suicide, physician-assisted suicide, euthanasia, killing, well, like at Denver Children's Hospital, euthanizing a 4-year-old boy, Dylan Walburn. See DylanWalburn.com for details. The more blood the West has on its hands, the more confusion you give to the Arab world to justify in the eyes of tens of millions, not only the Arab, but the Islamic world, the more confusion you present to them to justify terrorist attacks. And so essential is that we Christians speak clearly of what is right and what is wrong, and we condemn what is wrong and advocate what is right, and that we don't do so in a fearful way, and we don't do so in a muddled way, like, oh, it's wrong to kill an innocent child unless you wait 24 hours. Then here's our pro-life law. Yeah, if you wait 24 hours, then you could kill the baby. Or informed consent. If you sign this piece of paper giving your consent, then you could kill the baby. And these laws lead to, they are a result of moral relativism, and they lead to confusion, to where we have Christian leaders today who don't know right from wrong. They don't know right from wrong regarding killing the innocent, regarding the death penalty, regarding marriage, regarding sexuality, and I'm talking about Christian leaders and increasingly Christian organizations. I think it was unwise for the White House, the Obama administration, 2 years ago to criticize this publication for being insensitive toward Muhammad. It's one thing to point out that they're perverts, and that's worthwhile. But it's not valid to warn people not to be insensitive to Muhammad. I mean, Muhammad, who takes this young Coptic slave girl and tells his wife that she better stop complaining or she's going to burn in hell. That Muhammad, and we got to be sensitive toward him. What, so that 100 million other Muslim women could struggle under that kind of attitude toward women? So, you know what? We give out the phone number. It turns out we get calls. So we'll do that. 1-800-ANYART. If you have thoughts about this Islamic terrorist attack today, 1-800-8-N-Yard. That's 1-800-836-9278. So we're going up to British Columbia. Brad, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this whole Islam issue and everything that's been going on in Canada. We recently had some issues with somebody that was killed in Montreal and in the back east.
Yeah.
And I'm just getting very concerned with everything that's been happening. I have a good friend of mine that lives currently in Germany that is in a ministry out there, and as well I have a cousin that lives in Holland.
Mm.
And I stay in touch with them on the internet and on Facebook and things. And it's unbelievable what's happening now, and it's getting very scary for, I think, everybody as we start to learn a little bit more about exactly what the agenda is.
Well, yeah, the agenda of Islam, of course, is to dominate the world and to use violence, force, to do that if necessary. And Muslims tend to have a hatred of Jews, Christians, and the West in general. And Brad, it's so interesting in Israel when you see the West Bank and the Gaza Strip and the hatred that the Palestinians have toward the Jews, the utter hatred, such that they seem to hate the Jews more than they love their own children. And
yeah,
this is what is giving energy to this Islamic extremism, is this extreme hatred. Hatred of Jews first, hatred of
yeah.
Christians second, hatred of the West third.
Yeah. Well, and you know, the one thing that I've learned recently, because I tried in the last, you know, year or so, as this started to escalate as time has gone by here, I tried to educate myself a bit on the topic, and obviously your show has helped a lot to give me some information, but I've done a lot more research as well, and I've realized how ignorant so many people now are on the topic, and it's been good in some ways to enlighten a few people about the details, because quite often people that are Christians understand a bit of the difference, but a lot of people that aren't, they just lump all religions into one basket and think, well, this religion has some issues and this religion has some issues and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Whereas they're missing the point of Islam is more of an ideology than it is actually a religion.
Hmm.
Their whole foundational element of what they're doing is about violence. And people think that, you know, we hear people like Obama even say things like Islam is a religion of peace and all of these kinds of things. But the reality of it is that we're seeing this going on now everywhere. We're seeing it in every country almost, from Australia to Canada to the Middle East to Germany to Sweden to Norway to the United States. It's everywhere. So where is this peace that they speak of is what I want to know.
Well, when the media here in Denver has reported that Islam is a religion of peace, well, and tolerance, they say both. They managed to get them both, two mistakes in one sentence. Islam
yeah.
is a religion of peace and tolerance. What we ask, we've been asking them this question for 20 years. We say, where?
Yeah.
Where? Because in Saudi Arabia and their holy city, Mecca, I mean, the whole country is Islamic. The government is Islamic. There's not a single synagogue in the city of Mecca, nor is there a single church in the whole country of Saudi Arabia. There are no synagogues. There are no churches. There's no tolerance. And there are no peace for those who are not Muslims in Muslim-controlled countries.
Yeah. So it's basically exclusive or you die.
Well, that's...
Like you follow us or else.
Yeah. Yeah, you pay the tax to Allah, to Muhammad, as an infidel or you die. And so that is increasingly the crisis the world finds itself in. So, Brad, what's interesting is, and I don't know, for 24 years on this show, Bob and Yart Live, when the topic has come up, whether it's in economics or foreign policy, and people will say, well, it depends on what's good for the employer or what's good for the employee, or it depends on what's good for Canada or what's good for Mexico or the U.S., we point out that, wait a minute, the same thing will be good for everyone if it's actually good. So
Right. What
we do in America's best interest is exactly what will be in Canada's best interest. For example, by sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's one way that Muslim terrorists have repented and turned toward justice and peace is by accepting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And so to stand for our national security, we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we show that Muhammad was a fraud, and the Quran and Allah is no God, and the Quran is a false holy book. And in doing this, this leads toward national security, not the Obama administration saying we need to be sensitive toward Muslims. You know, I've never noticed them being sensitive toward Christians. Have you, Brad? I know you live in another country, but...
Yeah, well, in fact, I mean, how often do we see now where the Christians are actually being slammed? We had there's a bank up here, the Bank of Montreal, did a big bit that got published that you could certainly Google, where they wrote a whole thing about how Christians were the worst thing and everything was this horrible thing that they, you know, that Christians are doing in the world. And I always jokingly say, when people say that, I say, I guess you're too sick of having us help the sick and the poor and doing all the help in Africa and ministering to people to try and feed the homeless. You know, it's tiresome for people now, I guess.
Yeah.
But, the thing that I think a lot about is, the ways that we have to protect what we're doing as, not only Christians, but just citizens of what we, you know, we've become accustomed to as free people in a free country or free province or state. And, the solution right now that I see is that we have to close our borders to these countries that are coming in and trying to change the freedom that everybody fought so hard to get.
I think it's very wise to not allow people into your country who have an allegiance to an Islamic state, to Sharia law. I think, in fact, Brad, if people are advocating that infidels be killed, that our governments need to recognize that that is being an accomplice to murder, its incitement, and that in and of itself is a crime, so that there are imams who are committing crimes in this country and getting away with it by their radical religious teaching.
Absolutely. You know, one other thing, though, that I've been having a real hard time with, though, is something I learned a few months ago, was this whole topic of taqiyya, which is the belief that the Muslim people can lie in order to benefit Islam. Hmm. So where we have the Ten Commandments saying don't bear false witness,
right,
they have in the Quran saying that it's okay to lie if they can bring about a benefit to Islam. So wow. These people, if we have people claiming to be refugees coming to us from Iran or Iraq or wherever they're coming from, and they're saying, oh, we're refugees, I have to ask, well, are they lying?
Well, you know, well, sure, we want to be wise, of course. We want to be wise. But there are, you know, there are plenty of Christians who have fled
absolutely.
From Muslims in Muslim-dominated countries, including now sure. in Syria. So,
yes.
Hey, Brad, I want to thank you. Is there anything else you'd like to bring up regarding this or whatever we've been covering lately here at Bob and Yurt Live before we go?
I've just been loving everything you guys have been doing. Even yesterday's program on time is a huge one for me. I love that.
Wow. Hey, Brad, here's what we did with yesterday's show, because it's a complicated issue for people to follow. You know, it just is, especially if you haven't thought a lot about it. So we put basically a transcript of yesterday's program on kgov.com. The show's title is Here's How God Crossed an Actual Infinity. And
yeah.
then we have misconception number one, number two, and number three. All the text of it is right there. So people could read that as they follow along and listen to the program. And I think there's some vitally important observations there to help Christians not get confused with pagan philosophy when they try to understand the Bible.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
Wow. Well, thank you, Brad.
Many of these difficult things. Thank you, Bob.
What an honor that you've called in from Canada. So we are about out of time. But by the way, yesterday's program on time, we have occasionally we'll put with a program a related resource. And it says on yesterday's show page at kgov.com, it says today's resource, God, Time, and the Incarnation, the book by a professor of theology at Liberty University, Richard Holland. If you haven't read that book, wow, this was a broadcast event here at Bob and Yurt Live. In fact, in our 24-year history, our crew said that this had to be the most important series of interviews we've ever aired. God, Time, and the Incarnation. So if you get that book from us, you also will get a CD that includes the complete series, the interviews with the author, Professor Richard Holland. I think you'll love that. Thank you for tuning in. The March, January 17th, Saturday. Can't wait to see you there. God bless.